Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Can you name this tune? Or rather, can you name this absence of tune? Sure you can. It's Hello Dolly, and hearing as we are just the rhythm section, there is, come on, admit it, an almost inescapable desire to sing the melody. Go ahead, sing a few bars. This compulsion to sing along, or play along on piano, clarinet, oboe, bassoon, drums, violin, cello, or anything else, is at the heart of a venerable old institution, Music Minus One, which is celebrating, quietly, its 50th birthday this month.
Now, if you are into opera, you're going to love our new Music Minus One album, MMO4057. It's Italian tenor arias from our new opera series.
When I went to visit Music Minus One headquarters recently, I was expecting to find a strategically positioned subsidiary of a well-managed conglomerate owned by a carefully groomed handler who farmed me out to a well-spoken representative. Instead, I found Irv Kratka, president and CEO, the same man who started it, named it, and ran it beginning in 1950.
Our records sell for 50 years. Very few records will sell for 50 years.
Irv Kratka still runs Music Minus One from an office in Elmsford, New York. He founded the company, making play-along records, long before what we now call karaoke came to America. And like a lot of these things, it started almost accidentally. In fact, you could almost say that what started Music Minus One was Irv Kratka's bad timing.
I'd started a small classical record company. We'd recorded Dick Hyman, the pianist. Our first release was 78 RPM, and lo and behold, about 2 months into our release, Columbia introduced the long-playing record. Obviously, we had to change course. We went immediately to the new medium, but we had to find music to put on it. I spoke to this buyer, and I said, "What in this new world we're living in with longer recordings, what would be a valid, you know, contribution to this era?" And he said, "You know about Adapart?"
Adapart was an early disastrous venture into play-along.
Columbia brought out the Adapart recordings on a 78 RPM disc, and the length of the work was 4.5 minutes, resulting in very distracting to the chamber music player to stop playing every 4.5 minutes, get up and turn the record over.
But when the LP came in, you could go for 22, 23 minutes on a side, perfect for accompaniment records.
Well, I took the ball and ran with it. I produced the Trout Quintet about 2 months later in all its variations, minus the piano, violin, cello, viola, and bass.
This is the original Trout recording, minus the cello part. Cellists may join in any time.
This is an earlier era in recording. We just went in and recorded the four players of a quintet minus the soloist, and we did a round robin of each movement in the work of the Trout, for instance. And it went on for hours.
Remember now, this was 1950, 1951, before karaoke, before virtual reality, and before color TV swallowed leisure time, and before everybody was always in such a hurry, and before absolutely everything was interactive. So it was really a kind of miracle to be able to play chamber music with, in a way, other players, right in your home, even if you didn't happen to know any other players.
I distinctly remember in 1951 leaving the Lowy State Theater in the Bronx. I'd been to a movie with my wife, and we went out and got the Sunday edition of the Times. And there was a huge article covering an entire page by Howard Taubman, and he discussed with great joy the appearance of this series by this small company. Well, that really launched MMO.
Then came the inevitable move to other musical genres.
I subsequently got into jazz about 2 years later, doing rhythm sections using the best, very best players in America. I was recording in 52 and 53 the Charlie Parker rhythm section. People like Kenny Burrell, a guitarist, Hank Jones is on many of our recordings, George DeBivier. These were all legends. The entire catalog is still around. I've maintained it over 50 years.
On this recording, you can play your solo instrument, whatever it may be, with a rhythm section, including Milt Hinton on bass and Kenny Clarke on drums. So those were its beginnings, in that optimistic period after the war when the first American musicians began to rise to stardom, when the notions of a true mass culture had their earliest rumblings. Book of the Month Club, paint by numbers, everyone wanted a piece of culture, a stamp of cultural approval. What set these records apart was that in order to participate in them, you really had to be able to do something. You had to be accomplished enough to be able to keep up, literally, with an orchestra or chamber group which couldn't stop for you, wait for you, or otherwise allow any liberties. This, of course, was the odd thing about it. It took an art form of accommodation, collaboration, give and take, and packaged it with a necessarily rigid tempo.
People would always find that this is too fast, this is too slow. Well, you have to bend a bit. If you want to become them, you have to bend a bit.
I thought about these things as I wandered over to Dr. Sound in downtown Manhattan, where they specialize in theremins, for example, but also in a multitude of electronic musical devices, many of them interactive, many of them perfect for this era's form of play-along.
I can change the style.
I encounter Danny at a synthesizer.
That's a rave style, kind of a silly Euro-disco style, and why don't we go to an acid jazz style? Or maybe a craze style. What's this? Kind of like an early 90s house music kind of style.
Danny takes me over to a digital piano. Style.
And it's got about 100 very unusual and interesting electronic sounds inside. You might say this is Beethoven's or Mozart's nightmare or ecstasy.
Could you feed some existing music into one of these things and then play it back and play along with it?
Any computer can play huge scores containing 120, 250 parts.
Play Along is alive and well. And I think to myself, well, he may not have thought of it that way, but Irv Kratka and his little company 50 years ago was really something of a pioneer of this whole idea of a musical ensemble composed of a person and a machine. Except that in this case, what the machine captures is the performance of actual musicians.
I'm amazed. I'm always thinking to myself, is this real? Is this a real existence to be in, make play-along records? Do people really care? People keep writing us letters saying, wonderful, wonderful, you've done a marvelous thing here. This is a great, the new record is great.
Music Minus One still makes about 100 play-along records a year in all musical genres. To mark its 50th anniversary, MMO has just released a CD version of that Trout Quintet recording from 1950, minus piano, violin, viola, cello, or double bass. Chamber players, choose your instruments. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.